I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHD, WPHD, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will... This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
A Pennsylvania man is facing serious jail time for defending himself from a burglar. Why is this happening in the United States of America? Joe Biden speaks out on the college campus protests that are turning incredibly violent and insane. Is it too little too late? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here today. Very happy to welcome to the show. You know, the Heritage Foundation is always great with getting us some really, really outstanding experts, and this one is no different. Amy Swearer is a senior legal fellow at Heritage, always technically as advertised, she says on her Twitter bio, but never quite what you expected. Amy, thank you so much for joining me here in Philadelphia. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
And we can follow you on X. I got to say X, not Twitter. I'm just still not used to it. At Amy Swearer. So you've dealt with this in the past, Amy, this particular case. Let me just bring everybody up to speed on what happened here. I saw this article on Reason.com. It was an elderly man who was arrested after shooting a burglar in self-defense for carrying the gun without a license. And unfortunately, he's not the first such defendant. The Heritage Foundation is mentioned in this article because apparently this has happened before. So give us the details on what's happening here.
Sure. So this particular case is one where by all accounts, it seems that this elderly Pennsylvania man acted in lawful self-defense in the sense that he was completely justified and right in drawing his firearm and using it in lawful self-defense. But he's still being charged along with the burglar he shot. And that's because of Pennsylvania's concealed carry laws. So this man apparently did not have a concealed carry permit. Now, I know what you may be thinking. Well, the article says it shot him. This man shot the burglar on his own property. Well, it was not his place of abode or fixed place of residence. In other words, he didn't live at the property. It seems it was maybe a rental property that was sitting vacant. So even though he still owned it, because it wasn't his personal residence, he needed a concealed carry permit to go to his own property, to defend his own property against a clear criminal. And so he's now being charged with a couple. Yes, they are misdemeanors, but they are misdemeanors that under Pennsylvania state law would render him essentially ineligible to ever possess firearms ever again. So this is really just a technicality about how the concealed carry law works. I think everybody largely agrees this man did nothing wrong in terms of defending himself. He was justified in defending himself. It is solely because of the way that the state's concealed carry laws are written, that he is now facing not just significant jail time, but the loss of his Second Amendment rights for the rest of his life.
This is insane, Amy. I mean, he's facing 5 years in prison, a $25,000 fine. He owned the property. He was defending himself, clearly exercising his Second Amendment rights. And now he's got to face this. What kind of a prosecutor, district attorney would go after this? I mean, this is a clear loophole in the law. It's not the intent of the law to try to punish people like this. So where's the prosecutorial discretion in this?
Well, so you would think, right? Because I would actually go so far as to disagree with a little bit. I would say the way the law is written, and this has always been why some of these concealed carry permitting laws are controversial in the first place. It's why you see a lot more states in recent years going to permitless carry. It's because of these sorts of laws that
I see. Right.
They are set up in such a way that this was always, people will tell you, inevitable. And when you go back and you look at sort of how gun control advocates have defended it, what they'll say is, oh, well, we no prosecutor would prosecute that, right? Like, we all agree that that's unjust. And yet, because the law allows it, you do find these cases where, well, it's technically illegal. It turns out, hoping the prosecutor, you know, has a sense of justice and fairness is not always like the best way of defending your clearly unjust law in its unjust applicability. I think the better way is simply not writing the terrible law in the first place to cover that clearly unjustified action.
Yeah, so, you're right. I stand corrected. I take my comment back 100%. You are spot on in explaining it that way. Bravo.
Yeah, but I think, I'm sorry, I've actually lost track of your initial question. I did not mean to sidetrack us.
No, but I'm glad you clarified that point. And you're right, and there are states that are moving now to get rid of these permits for this exact reason. And you see blue states, I mean, my state where I live, New Jersey, you know, trying to make it so complicated to get a concealed carry permit. Then you look at Florida where they got rid of them. They said, you don't need a permit. You know, you have your Second Amendment rights. That's your permit right there. Yeah. And that's the way it should be. And so I guess the question that I had was, where's the prosecutorial discretion? Because I would assume that there should be in a case like this. The guy had no ill intent. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that there are so many anti-Second Amendment advocates out there. They want to try to make an example out of everybody, and they will go after people for any reason whatsoever. I mean, that's just the reality. You're not going to find prosecutorial discretion in these kind of cases.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is something that I would love to see what the local prosecutor actually has to say for himself or herself, because it does just seem so patently unfair. And part of the reason to me this injustice just really sticks out is when you look at Pennsylvania law for concealed carry permits, not only was this man eligible to get a concealed carry permit. In Pennsylvania, it's actually a pretty easy process. So the difference of between him being a criminal and not being a criminal, you know, it's not like some gun control advocates will say, oh, well, we need permitting laws because we need people to go through training and all this intensive training. That was my own issues with that, right? But that's sort of the sole reason for this, is we need them to get training. Pennsylvania doesn't require training. I have a Pennsylvania permit. You fill out the forms, you send it in, you pay your $20 to $30 fee, and then you go and you pick up the permit. So in this case, Pennsylvania is one of those states where you can't even make the argument that, oh, well, he should have done his training. You know, he should have known the law and he should have done it. He essentially, in essence, he failed to fill out a form and pay the government $20, and they would have given him a permit, and he would not have been even remotely capable of being convicted. When that is the distinction, what are you actually doing with your laws? What is the point? Because you're not even taking it. Does that make sense? You're not even taking that next step of saying, oh, well, at least he had training, right? You know, at least we knew that he was competent, because the state doesn't even require that. So to me, it just makes even less sense the more you dig into this. And so, again, I'd love to hear that prosecutor speak for himself, speak for herself, to be like, what were you thinking? Is this really worth disarming someone for the rest of their life, when they haven't acted negligently or recklessly, or they've just protected themselves and their property?
Yeah, and potentially sending them to prison and having to pay a massive fine. Amy Swearer is with me. Amy is a senior legal fellow in the Edwin Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. And yeah, your point is excellent. I mean, this is really just about filling out a form. Some states make you go through such a process to get a concealed carry permit, Jersey being one of them. My friend finally got hers. She had to get training. She had to get a test. I mean, it was just, you know, it took forever, but she finally got it. But in Pennsylvania, it's just a form, so he didn't fill out a form. At the same time, if he didn't fill out his ballot properly and his vote wasn't counted, people would argue that his civil rights were being violated. And I find there's an irony in that because, I mean, you know, you have a constitutional right to vote. You have a constitutional right to have a gun. You know, the Constitution doesn't say as long as you fill out your form properly. And one case, in one sense now, being argued in the Third Circuit where they're saying, well, you know, you do have to fill out the ballot properly if you want it to count. You have to date it properly, sign it properly. In this case, it wasn't even a matter of the guy filled out the form wrong or a Hunter Biden case where he lied about something or did anything. He just didn't do it. And maybe he just made a mistake by not doing it. But it was not the kind of thing, to your point, where that law exists so that we make sure that the people of the Commonwealth have the training that they need before they possess a firearm. That's not even the intent of the law. And I guess that's what I was getting at earlier, which is that, you know, where I see these blue states like New Jersey and New York, they create these laws and they say the intent of the law is but really it's to bust chops and make the process harder for people. But in Pennsylvania, to your point, Amy, it's not even that. It's just simply filling out a form and then paying your money to the government. That's even more of a reason for the prosecutor to exercise discretion in this, no question about it. And this is not the only place this has happened. New York charged a man named Charles Foner with so many gun possession crimes that if convicted on all of them, he would face life in prison. Police came to be aware of his unlicensed firearms when he defended himself against an attempted mugger. A surveillance video, which I reviewed, and they searched his home and found that only some of his weapons were licensed with the state. And they hit him with an avalanche of criminal charges that would have resulted in a longer prison sentence than his assailant would have received had he survived. So you think about that for a moment. I mean, here's a guy walking down the street, does nothing wrong. He gets attacked. He defends himself. Now he's the criminal.
Yep. And it's because of the framing of how these states and a lot of gun control activists in general view the problem. Okay, they do not see the problem as, well, there are good law-abiding people who are not inherently dangerous, and there are people who are criminals who are going to be dangerous and violent no matter what weapon you give them or don't give them. They see the problem as the firearm itself.
Yep.
That there is to them almost no such, they are inherently skeptical and wary of firearms in the hand of apparently any person or entity except the government, which is terrifying if you really think about that.
Yes.
Yeah, because only law enforcement should have firearms. But also, I guess, all law enforcement officers are Nazis. It just sort of depends on who you ask.
Right, right.
that to them, that is itself the problem that they are trying to solve. Say, oh, we just need fewer people. Not we need fewer bad people who are violent, who are criminals, who based on their past and current actions show themselves to be a danger to the public. We need fewer of them to have guns. But it's just, no, we actually just need to make it harder for literally everyone to get firearms, and we will use whatever excuse we can, including in places like New York. Oh, well, they just need more training, and so that's why it's going to cost $3,000 and take, you know, 14 months, and you got to renew it every year. You know, that's why. It's because you're the problem with your guns, you law-abiding people. And it just makes no sense until you understand that is the pathology. They are pathologizing not crime, not people who are dangerous, but they are pathologizing the weapon. To them, it doesn't matter who has it except apparently the government. If you're armed, you're dangerous. The intent doesn't matter. The law-abiding nature of that person doesn't matter. And I think that's the real underlying problem.
Yeah, you are awesome. You need to come back on the show anytime there's a gun case because you nailed it. Exactly the mindset and the mentality of these people. Bravo, Amy Swearer. Bravo. And there's another point here in the Reason piece in which they quote you. The other point about this, too, they say is that in many jurisdictions, it can be expensive and time-consuming to get the required license, which in turn makes the Second Amendment available only to people of a certain class. Where's all the equity I hear about it all the time, Amy?
Right. It's not there at all. And again, this is part of a much larger sort of dishonest framing of how a lot of people want to view the issue of the Second Amendment. It's about equity until it's not, right? It's about public safety until it's not. It's about, oh, we're just here for the criminals. You can keep your firearms until it's not. And you see this, again, in just how the law is written. And I think this is actually how I'm quoted in that article. My point is, you don't have to necessarily be in favor of permitless carry to recognize that we should do something where we're not turning otherwise law-abiding, peaceable citizens like this individual into felons or quasi-felons who can never own firearms again, because they're not the problem.
Right.
All it takes is a little bit of honesty to say, okay, maybe we don't make this a first-degree misdemeanor. Maybe we just treat it like we do driving without a license, and you get a fine. Or, you know, we tell you, go get your license and we'll quash it. Like, why is this a criminal offense? Even if you want to deter this for whatever reason, you want to, you know, make people pay their $20 for tax reasons, does it have to be this extreme? Or did you have another way to do this that was far less extreme if you just put a little thought process into it? And again, that's not even saying that you have to be in favor of permitless carry. You just have to be in favor of not screwing over a law-abiding, peaceable citizen.
Now, when it comes to states like New Jersey, for example, Amy, when they write these rules to be so restrictive, where you can conceal carry, and the only reason why they're allowing that is because, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that in the New York case. But then they write these laws to be so restrictive. You can't have a concealed gun at a park. You can't have it in church. You can't have it at a polling place. You can't. They wind up making it so restrictive that it's almost like, well, I'm not going to leave the house with it because I might stop at a place where I can't have it, and now I'm a criminal. And that, again, is done by design. But doesn't that spit exactly in the face of what the Supreme Court ruled in that New York case?
It absolutely does. And this is why I am hoping that the Supreme Court has just the courage to continue taking up these cases, to enforce not just the letter of Bruin, but the spirit. Because you are spot on. This is what these states are doing. They are essentially saying, fine, we have to give you a piece of paper that says you can carry. We're going to make it so expensive and time-consuming and impractical that it means nothing. And your average citizen is going to look at that and say, well, I'm not going to spend $2,000 and take 3 days off of work to figure out this process when I can't even really carry anywhere else. And if I screw up even slightly, now I'm a felon.
Right.
They're just going to say, fine, I'm not going to do it. And that is, you're right. That is the point. It is just trying to find any way they can of deterring your average, ordinary, peaceable person from exercising their fundamental constitutional rights. It is exactly the point.
One of the nightmare scenarios I think of, and I don't know if this has happened yet, but is the parent who's gets the emergency call from the school, you got to come get your kid, and now has broken all kinds of laws if they're carrying. And I don't know if that's happened yet, but I know that it will happen eventually. And then they're going to make an example out of that person. So then if you've got kids and there's a chance that the school may call and say that, you know, your kid's got a fever, you got to come get her, and you don't have the ability to go home and drop your gun off before going to get your kid, you're not going to bother leaving the house with that firearm. And again, that's the idea, that they want you to not leave the house with a gun.
Well, no, I'll do you one better. You now have a number of places, including now New York, New Jersey, even Maryland, places that used to allow you, you know, if God forbid you could get a permit, you could carry on public transportation. They're now saying, fine, you can't carry on public transportation. Tell me you don't want poor people to carry firearms without telling me you don't want poor people to carry firearms.
Right.
Because essentially what you're doing is saying, if you don't have a car, if you can't afford a car, if you can't afford Uber or taxi or some other sort of private means, and you have to take public transportation everywhere, you either got to walk and hope it's not through like a public park or like any of these other, you know, no-go zones, or you are out of luck because you can't carry on public transportation. And, you know, so take even aside someone who might say, okay, well, maybe I can hide it in my car. When you're on public transportation, there's no like high, that is the felony the whole way. And again, it plays into this conception of people just, the hope is that people will say, it is not worth it. I'm not spending this money and jumping through these many hoops to not be able to carry, or to, as you said, right, wind up in this sort of emergency scenario where now I'm sort of forced to choose between handling the emergency properly or risking becoming a felon. And it's terrible. It is not the interest of public safety.
No, it's not in the interest of public safety at all. But again, to the point you said earlier, and it was brilliant, they don't believe that people carrying guns is in the interest of public safety. They don't want you doing it. So that's why they make these laws the way they do. Two questions, Amy, that I got on Twitter, if you'd be kind enough to answer. My friend Chris asked a question. He's wondering what chance this case has for constitutional carry on appeal. This is the case back to the Pennsylvania guy who's now facing, you know, this prison time and everything like that. Could this be one of those cases that gets the Supreme Court to take another look at this?
So I think, unfortunately, at least at the state level, my understanding of sort of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court right now, and as well as the federal circuit that Pennsylvania is in, that's a very low shot. I think, honestly, this individual's best bet is unfortunately one of two things, either public scrutiny on the prosecutor, right, where the case gets enough attention that there's enough pressure on him to say, okay, you're right, this is unjust, or the idea of jury nullification, that if he is able to take this to trial, right, to sort of hope, not that you can explicitly ask for jury nullification, but that you have a juror that says, absolutely not, this is absurd, I'm not convicting this man, you know, in the letter of the law when it's contrary to every bit of common sense. And again, it's a long shot. That's never what you want to, you know, rest your case on is the hope that someone says, yeah, that's technically a crime, but absolutely not convicting him. But I think given the nature of the sort of legal system, that he is facing in the state and federal court, I would say, unfortunately, it's a long shot that you would see that happen. And I think also probably a long shot, even if this statute were repealed or better dealt with. Unfortunately, it was the law when he was charged, and that wouldn't necessarily coerce anybody into dropping those charges.
Well, listen, we're going to do our best to make this a big story and shine some light on this, because this is just, an egregious, absolute, unjust situation this man is finding himself in. Amy, I'm so grateful you took the time to come on the show today. We're going to definitely have you back on again anytime there's a gun issue. I've never heard it put better than the way you describe the philosophy behind these people and the mentality. It's excellent. Senior legal fellow Edwin Meese III, Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Amy Swearer, thank you.
Thank you.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All righty. May 2nd. Tomorrow's May 3rd, and we are live in the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Here is some students at the University of Mississippi. We've had a lot of bad news about college kids all week, but it's good. It's hopeful. Nice. Those fraternity brothers, and they're going to have the Flagapalooza led by John Rich. It's going to be awesome. These are some students at the University of Mississippi. They sing along the moving rendition of the Star Spangled Banner in front of a group of kooky Palestinian activists waving their Palestinian flags, courtesy of Oil London TV on Twitter. Take a listen. Excellent. Good stuff. So I just saw Johnny Z on Twitter, who's the owner of Mulligan Shore Bar, and he said Dom's going to be there as well. Dom will be there from 3 to 5, and I'll be there from 5 to 7 at Mulligan Shore Bar on Saturday, May 11th, the day of the Trump rally. So that's excellent. That's great. So wonderful. Please come out and see us for that. That'll be fun. There's so much to get to today. The big story of the day is brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. The big story of the day is that the payment was not a hush money payment. That's the thing that came out today. The former attorney for Stormy Daniels came out and said the hush money payment was not hush money, and that this was really extortion. Defense attorney Emil Bove's questioning of the lawyer Keith Davidson hinted at a strategy by Trump's legal team to undermine the credibility of prosecution witnesses in the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president. And the question of it being extortion, I think, is a fair one. She wanted to go on all these TV shows. She wanted to break the contract that they had. And the money that she took in exchange for not discussing this. But Davidson testified that he didn't view it as hush money. He said he would not call it that. He was also asked about attempts to trade embarrassing information for cash from celebrities, including actor Charlie Sheen, reality TV star Tia Tequila. You were pretty well versed in getting right up to the line without committing extortion, right? The attorney asked. Davidson denied ever committing extortion, but said that Stephanie Clifford, in this case now, the non-disclosure agreement from a apparent alleged 2006 sexual encounter, but said he would not describe the payment as hush money. It was consideration in a civil settlement agreement. Now, consideration is a term under the law, and that's a term used all the time in contract law, not hush money. He said the forceful denial he helped Daniels craft when the payment was revealed in 2018 did not amount to a lie because it referred to a romantic sexual relationship rather than a one-off sexual encounter. You have to go through it word by word, and I think if you did, it would technically be true with an extremely fine reading. Daniels later disavowed the statement and said the signature on it was not hers. And again, Trump was threatened today with more of the gag order violations. They're trying to go after him again for this. But I'll tell you what, you know, and this is the thing. Trump leaves the courthouse today. He speaks. We played some of it for you. Then he goes up and he sees a bunch of cops and firemen at a firehouse in New York City. Brings them pizza. And they love the guy. And they love him. And they don't care. He could have sex with Stormy Daniels on top of a fire truck. And these guys wouldn't have changed their vote in 2016. Like in the movie Backdraft.
What is that? I never even heard of it.
You never heard of the movie Backdraft?
No.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's with the lesser Baldwin brother.
Danny Baldwin?
I don't know. Baldwin? One of the Baldwins.
Stephen Baldwin?
Maybe Stephen Baldwin, but not the good Stephen Baldwin. The Baldwin, related to Alec Baldwin.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Trump could have had a threesome with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal on top of a fire truck, wearing a fire chief's truck hat, with a, like a dog in the passenger seat, and these guys still would have voted for him over Hillary Clinton in 2016.
I mean, hooking up with a porn star and a Playboy playmate is kind of cool.
At the same time, yeah, while going down Fifth Avenue, license sirens blaring, they still would have voted for him over Hillary Clinton in 2016.
He'd gain votes, I think.
I agree. People be like, you know, I was on the fence about this guy, but I'm 100% in. Doesn't get any more alpha than this. Just saying. Like I said, the question of this notion of paying somebody to not disclose things, I would be really worried about this. A guy who dated a girl and he was afraid to ever make the first move, and she said the guy was a total beta and was not really a tough guy, and this is all an act. We never even had sex. He didn't even have any interest in it. It's not that he's gay or anything. He's just a total wuss. And he just has no testosterone. I would be worried about that woman coming forward and ruining the guy's chances more than I would about a porn star or a Playboy bunny coming forward. Because that everybody reviews that and goes, this guy is the lead dog of the pack here. You know what I mean? And that's what we want in a president. So I just want to know the extent of when you have to pay somebody to not, or when somebody does not tell the voters about you, when it amounts to election interference in Alvin Bragg's hypothetical world. But then the question becomes, why is Bill Clinton, how did Bill Clinton get away with this? This was something that National Review had the other day, and I thought this was excellent. And, you know, Bill Clinton stole the 1992 election. And how come he got away with it? Rich Lowry wrote this piece. He said, too bad Alvin Bragg wasn't on the case. The Alvin Bragg case has gotten grander at trial, but also more ridiculous. The Madden DA has taken a meaningless business records misdemeanor wrapped within a theory about an alleged Trump conspiracy to defraud the voters by denying them disparaging information before the election and obscuring after the fact the payments that were used to do so. Bragg is accusing Trump, in effect, of stealing the election. He thus joins all the other progressives who have denied the legitimacy of Trump's 2016 election, although he finds the culprit not in Russia, but in the shady maneuverings around Stormy Daniels. If this is the standard by which we should judge elections, we need to go back and conclude that Bill Clinton wasn't elected legitimately in 1992. The Arkansas governor's political operation was, in part, an elaborate conspiracy to keep women who alleged to have had affairs with him quiet. Hillary Clinton was an active participant in the schemes, and so, by Bragg's logic, this Democratic power couple, dominant in the party for a decade or more and still honored today, comprise election thieves. Clinton had the same underlying problem as Trump, namely women with embarrassing stories to tell, but the opposite tabloid dynamic. The tabloids were trying to get Clinton elected, whereas the National Enquirer was trying to protect Trump. The Clinton campaign fought to silence or discredit women as necessary. Clinton's operatives had the foresight, there's nothing like planning ahead, to secure affidavits of denial from women rumored to have had affairs with Clinton. The truth didn't matter here, of course. They just wanted the exculpatory statements, and the women were usually happy to sign them. Who wants the embarrassment of such matters being aired in public? So when the Star tabloid reported that five Arkansas women, including one named Jennifer Flowers, had had affairs with Clinton, the campaign was ready. According to George Stephanopoulos, no relation to George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist that you see on ABC News who leads the Sunday ABC This Week program, no relation to the two. I would never want you to think that ABC News would demean itself by hiring this George Stephanopoulos to do the role of an unbiased journalist who interviews politicos of both stripes. Because this George Stephanopoulos, back then in 1992, the strategy that George Stephanopoulos implied was to attack the tabloid messenger and use previously signed affidavits to undermine the story. Now, could you imagine if that Stephanopoulos was the same Stephanopoulos on ABC News Now? Because how could that Stephanopoulos talk about this case, considering that he did the exact same thing to try to get these women to be silent back then? That's why there's no relation. See, the George Stephanopoulos who did this to Jennifer Flowers was killed in a very awful... I mean, this was a terrible situation when... You remember Medieval Times, the restaurant? He was killed in a joust. They jousted him to death. It was supposed to be a mock jousting at Medieval Times. You don't remember that restaurant?
I remember Medieval Times.
Yeah. You know the knights on Jan, they have jousts? Well, that George Stephanopoulos was there, and he fell, and then they jousted him to death, and it was awful. I mean, the joust went right through him, and they held him up, and they threw his body down. It's awful.
Died
in 2000. Yeah.
Ruin your appetite.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. You watch a show, and you're having dinner, and you're like, oh, my God, they just impaled George Stephanopoulos. But this George Stephanopoulos is a totally different guy. He was born in the year 2000. His parents named him after that George Stephanopoulos as sort of a token of appreciation. So not the same guy. Just want to clarify that for anybody. Because, I mean, ABC News would never hire that guy, knowing that that guy would have to talk about this case. And then he was the guy that covered for Bill Clinton doing the exact same thing that what Alvin Bragg's accusing Trump of doing, which is election interference. And then in which case, then George Stephanopoulos would have to come out and say, I really can't be covering this case because I literally did this. Like, I didn't watch it happen. I did it. I was the guy that did it. But again, not the same George Stephanopoulos. That George Stephanopoulos who did this died. It was a tragic situation. He stuck his head in an uni pizza oven. I didn't even know they had them back then.
I didn't even know a human head could fit in there.
Yeah, and his whole head went up in flames. Terrible, terrible, sad, sad thing. Then Flowers shifted from denying the affair to confirming it in detail. Her story had to be destroyed, and her background and appearance would provide one hook for the campaign's effort. George Stephanopoulos wrote in his memoir, quote, Jennifer's red suit and dark-rooted hair sent exactly the right message. Again, everyone knew what they were doing, which was keeping the truth from the voters in service of what they considered a higher good. I couldn't bear the thought that an old dalliance dredged up by a tabloid would curtail the professional experience of my life or the promise I saw in Clinton, that George Stephanopoulos wrote. I want to remind you, no relation to the George Stephanopoulos on ABC News, who's covering Donald Trump and the Alvin Bragg case, and has to talk about on Sundays and every day on Good Morning America what Donald Trump is accused of, which is election interference, for making sure these stories did not come public, because that George Stephanopoulos would not be allowed to do that, considering that he literally did this, didn't watch it happen, did it on purpose, was the guy who did this to try to shut these women up. But again, different George Stephanopoulos. That George Stephanopoulos, terrible, terrible situation. He actually died by, he ate Pop Rocks, the candy, and then drank a Coca-Cola like that kid and blew up. And I didn't think that was real. I always thought that was an urban legend. But
I guess when you're the size of a child, it makes sense.
It was little Mikey, wasn't it?
Mikey and little Georgie. Twinkle Toes, as they called him back then. He died. That's how he died. Same way. Same exact way. Pop Rocks and Coke. And, it's one of those, you go, wow. It's like, how could two people have died that way? You know what I mean?
Yeah, little Mikey from the Life cereal ad.
Yeah.
Here's
the victim. He also liked Coke and Pop Rocks, evidently.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace, Mikey. And George. There was much more. State troopers were involved in procuring women for Clinton and had been pressured prior to the 1992 campaign not to talk. A Clinton loyalist named Buddy Young told one of the troopers during the campaign, if you know what's good for you, you'll keep your mouth shut. All right, let me take a quick break. We're coming right back, though. Don't worry. We got more to say on this, and don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. See why CarShield is voted America's most trusted vehicle protection company and see why our commitment to our customers has landed us an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. We have live reps here to answer all your questions, but you have to call now. Call 800-898-6155 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-898-6155. That's 800-898-6155. What do you have to lose? Call 800-898-6155. Again, 800-898-6155.
Tom Herr, and this is Susan Herr, Norvon, Pennsylvania.
Being with Crash Proof is like being in a big family. We know there's a lot of other people out there just like us, and everyone's very happy.
Yeah, they're not sad. That's
they're not sad. I mean, we come in and we know our money's safe, and it's continuing to grow.
The Crash Proof system is fighting inflation for us. When prices do go up, we still have income coming in, and with the Crash Proof system, we made just under 7%. Even though we're using money, we're still making more money, and at the end, we have more money than we started with.
We have those resources to make our life in retirement much more comfortable.
And we can sleep at night.
Yes, definitely.
Only Crash Proof Retirement can guarantee peace of mind in a legally binding, recorded financial meeting. Register for our next event happening at the Washington Crossing Inn on May 15th. Choose either the 11 a.m. or 5 p.m. event. 800-722-9728 or crashproofretirement.com.
Feel like everything's clouded by doubt? Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Our psychics are available to talk 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Hi, this is Dom Giordano. You don't want to miss out on the Memorial Sale at Rescue Natural Supplements going on now with prices rising across the country. Rescue is rolling back pricing to the year 2010. Plus, enjoy their fantastic two bottles, get one free, and buy three bottles, get two free Memorial deals. Stock up on your favorite. Say big with Rescue rollback pricing and generous free bottle offers. Whether you're in need of 1250 omega-3s, cholesterol supporters, probiotics, or natural pain relief, everything is on sale. To order, call 826-11. That's 800-262-5483 and speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com. That's res-q.com. Don't miss this opportunity for huge savings on over 50 Rescue products to tackle your health goals. Remember, 2010 rollback prices and the Memorial deals are going on now through May 30th. So go shop res-q.com. That's res-q.com. Do it today.
Have you gotten your letter from the IRS yet? These last few years have not been easy on the American family. And with tax season finally arriving, there'll be millions of hardworking people and businesses that could struggle even more due to the IRS working against them. Well, America First Tax Group can help put an end to your worries. Just one phone call to 800-806-1299. Hello, 800-806-1299. And you'll be in touch with the America First Tax Group, a full-service tax company that'll fight the IRS and help put you on the path to financial freedom. Their experts can help you or your business with any tax-related problems you may have, from dealing with your back taxes to granting you access to tax relief and much more. Don't wait. Get in touch with America First Tax Group today by calling 800-806-1299. That's 800-806-1299 or AmericaFirstTaxGroup.com/Levin. Again, 800-806-1299 or AmericaFirstTaxGroup.com/LEVIN.
Free speech lives here with Don Stensland weekdays 10 till noon. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. WPHT.
Tomorrow we'll be closing down the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I'm excited for that. But the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two offices to serve you in Cinnamon and in Woodbury. All this covering up all these women who had alleged affairs, or at the time, as they called them, the bimbo eruptions, because they disparaged these women. It wasn't free. The campaign considered the payments to a guy. They paid a guy named Jack Palladino. He would contact women and either get them to sign affidavits denying everything or find a way to attack their credibility. And he didn't do it for free. As Michael Isikoff relates in the book, Uncovering Clinton, the campaign sent the initial $28,000 to a Denver law firm, which passed along the payments to Palladino's detective agency. This assured that only the Denver law firm showed up in disclosures with the Federal Election Commission. How was the payment categorized? Categorized as legal fees. Reminder, Trump is getting prosecuted because he booked his payments to Michael Cohen as legal fees rather than reimbursement of a loan. As Michael Isikoff writes in the book, every trivial expenditure for postage and catering was routinely reported on Clinton's FEC report. But something truly worth knowing, the campaign's retention of a high-powered private detective, has been concealed. The report at the time forced the campaign to acknowledge the payments to Palladino during the campaign. After it was all over, Isikoff figured out by looking through the FEC filings that the campaign had spent more than $100,000 on Palladino's law firm, with a large chunk of the payments delayed until after the election. One final layer of subterfuge. Needless to say, pointing to Bill Clinton's conduct as a precedent isn't much of a defense. The point is that campaigns always try to keep unwelcome information from voters. As the Biden campaign and the Hunter laptop and Biden with Tara Reid, and certainly amid all the threats, job offers, payments, and mixing of private and official matters entailed by Clinton's extensive damage control operation in 1992, a politically motivated local prosecutor could have found some sort of a misdemeanor to use against him. The list of Bill Clinton's ethical lapses is long. Now, if we take Alvin Bragg seriously, stealing the 1992 election has to be added to the list. Enjoy the rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Mark your calendar. May 11th, we'll be live at Mulligan Shore Bar, live in person, the day of the Trump rally. And tomorrow, live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. Keep the conversation going on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.